Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Students at a Podcast. I'm Aziel, your host for today. And today I have such a special guest who just graduated from NYUD with a degree in social research and public policy. So welcome and thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. And would you mind giving like a brief introduction by yourself?
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. So my name is Mohammed Mukhbin, and I am a graduating senior. I graduated senior from New York University, Abu Dhabi. I'm Palestinian Jordanian, but I grew up in Saudi Arabia my whole life. And I majored in social research and public policy with a minor in psychology and a minor in teacher education.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction. Again, congratulations on your graduation. That was such a special moment here. And let's start like from the beginning. Like, how did you decide to pursue this degree in social research and public policy?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Elizila. It's such a great question because I came into the university aiming to major in mechanical engineering. So I studied in Saudi Arabia, and there I was in an international school. I studied at an international school, and most of the courses that I took, the subjects were really all focused on the sciences. So I took chemistry, physics, biology, mathematics, and, you know, it's a very science-heavy education. And so the only kind of route or path that would make sense to me applying to a university was, you know, I would do something that I'm familiar with, which for me was either, you know, sciences or applied sciences, which is engineering. So I ended up deciding to do engineering, but not really being perhaps so like passionate about it or convinced. I just felt like it was something that made sense in between quotes. And so I came here, you know, first year, just taking these first year courses, foundational courses, etc. But then whenever someone would come to me and ask me, what do you want to major, or what are you majoring in? And then I say mechanical engineering, and then they're like, why? I really don't have an answer to that. I really don't know why I was majoring in, and I didn't know why I was majoring in mechanical engineering. And so there were some doubts always, but I didn't really think about them. And then at the end of my freshman year, during summer of my freshman year, I started really, you know, throughout that year, I was able to take, yes, the science, foundational science courses, but I was also able to take the liberal arts courses, which are, you know, the cores, what we have here, the cores, which are really interdisciplinary, a lot of disciplines combined, and also, you know, the other courses that allow for that interdisciplinary education. And so I was able to take these courses, and then slowly I started realizing that I had some interest in social thinking, in thinking about ideologies, in thinking about systems and structures and ways of doing things, you know, social life, society. And so at the end of my freshman year during summer, I started, after I had that realization, I really started considering that I could switch. Now, sometimes it's hard for people to just end up switching at the end of their, you know, at the end of the first year, because like, okay, I've done it 1 year already.
Yes.
Well, should I really like switch? Is it worth it? And so I ended up, you know, there was this one moment, I remember very clearly, I was sitting in my common area in my room. I was having lunch, I had some background music, and then as I was eating, a question pops in my mind, but I don't remember what the question was. I remember the impression that it left upon me, which was that I was convinced that I don't want to do engineering. I was convinced. So that was like, I'm going to switch out for sure. Now, over time, I tried to kind of formulate a question that made me decide to that. And then I think the closest question was, where do I see myself having the biggest impact? And for me, that was not engineering. I couldn't see myself working hard and being very passionate about it. And I didn't see myself in that field. Instead, I saw myself somewhere else. Now, that moment was kind of like a deciding moment for me that I didn't want to do engineering. Now, what's next? what else can I do? What is the other thing that I want to do that I'm really, you know, that is, you know, the opposite of all of these impressions? It's something that I really want to work hard on, and I am passionate about, and I'm going to really put a lot of effort into. And so I think for that, I really started thinking about, you know, my first year, before coming to university. And then, you know, I started remembering all these things that I did from my heart, willingly.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering at a summer camp, starting an Arabic poetry club in my school. In my first year here, I became a facilitator for the Boys Education Network. And then I applied, and then I became part of the e-board. And so it was a lot of things that were relevant to the field of education for me, where I'm able to meet up with people like this one-to-one,
mm-hmm.
or one-to-a-group, or all together, you know, it's a group of people together, and share knowledge, exchange knowledge, and learn together in the best and most effective possible ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have an education field at NYU 8.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fields. We have, you know, I have sociology, social research and public policy, we have psychology, we have economics, but we don't have education. And so I tried looking at the majors and then looking at the pathways for people when they graduated. And then I noticed that social research and public policy was one of these fields that people would study and then get into education. It was also one of the broadest, you know, by far one of the broadest fields at NYU 8.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fields that, you know, you have a lot of flexibility to take a lot of different courses and not just be limited. And so I decided to major in social research and public policy for the sake of learning, for the sake of educating, for the sake of education. And so I was able to take a lot of courses that were relevant to education that were here, but also during my study away in New York.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, it was such a big change, right, from engineering to social research and public policy. So, but at the same time, it's such like a smooth transition, right? Because you really realized what you want, like, for your future, and
okay.
All of this process that help you, like, figure out, okay, this is not for me, maybe I can try something else. So it's really, really amazing, like, how you realized this in effect. And another question that I have for you is basically for you to tell a little bit about your life here on campus, like if you want to talk about your experience as a freshman year and how you see like this difference as a graduate student, like from now, like with kind of challenge that you face during your 4 years in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to listen and to know more about it.
And, thank you. I think so on campus, I've done, you know, after that kind of change in mindset that I had, and even before it, right, I was able to do education opportunities like mm-hmm. the Boys Education Network,
mm-hmm.
where we held these circles or workshops, really, with middle and high school students from Abu Dhabi, who study in Abu Dhabi, and we invited them on campus every Sunday for like 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and we held workshops about healthy leadership, about healthy communities, toxic masculinity, a lot of things. So we met up with these kids every, you know, once a week, and it was so nice to see them the next week and you know, build that community together, connection between each other. It was really meaningful for me. And so I did that, and then I became part of the e-board where I designed the curriculum, I designed the workshops that the next facilitators would then come and implement.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And then when I switched, around the time that I switched to social research and public policy, I was also able to work as a TA, as a teaching assistant, with the Arabic language department here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really beautiful and meaningful really opportunity, because I was able to understand more about a language that I really care about and the ways to teach it. And so that I felt like was really important to me, which is how do we teach the Arabic language, for example, in the most effective way to foreign learners who want to learn it. I was able to do that. That was a great opportunity. Of course, during my years, it was COVID here. So it was all online virtual. Alhamdulillah, now it's a lot better and a lot more, allowing for a lot of other things. So I was able to do that. And then I was also able to work with the Hilary Belen Center for Teaching and Learning here as a student assistant for about 4 months. And now this year, in my senior year, I'm a resident assistant of an RA. And so that role itself for me represents a lot of education, right? From an resident assistant for first year students. And so that is another step of education, another step of responsibility to educate and to share knowledge and exchange knowledge with the events that we organize, learning about the UAE, learning about campus, learning about ourselves and others. I think one of the greatest opportunities where I was able to interact with people and get to know them better. I think, and from getting to know them better, then we can, interact in a better way, in a healthier way, etc. I think a lot of that is really important for education. Yeah, that's just a bit of what I did on campus.
That's great, because you have like time and opportunity to develop like a lot of stuff and also explore your interests. So regarding this, I have like another question. So how did you manage like to balance your studies, like your academics life with these, all of these extracurricular activities that you developed during the 4 years, and also had to have like social life, and also how did you manage to create this balance,
Yeah, that's always a difficult question because, I like to reflect on the day and how the day went, which means that I like to think about what I was able to do, what I wasn't able to do, what I wanted to do. And then lay all of these out, right, on paper, actually holding a pencil and a paper and then writing it all down to make it visible. Otherwise, it's just all up in the air. So, knowing that, okay, I have this 1, 2, 3 for my academics that I need to do by this date, having 1, 2, 3 for my extracurriculars that I want to do by this date. And then prioritizing. Prioritizing and doing things together, I guess, in harmony in a way. So what I like to do is that I wanted to, make sure that I was giving myself enough space to do, to do what I needed to do at a certain time. So I knew that I had a quiz the next day, and I knew that I had something later in the week for extracurriculars, then, I know that today I can do this. And then the next day, I can work on the other stuff that I need to work on. And so I guess, yeah, it's making sure that I give every part of my life its own right, its own time, the academics, its own time, and making that time during the week, I think for me was really by focusing on these things. So these are always, they're on my mind. They're a priority. I reflect on them. And then I make the intention that I want to work on this and I want to work on that. And I know that later today I'm going to work on my essay or my capstone or my etc. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Actually, it just provides like, such valuable tips, for college students. And I think I can also benefit from that as well. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is basically, how do you think this degree in social research and public policy, so coming back to your major, how do you think it prepare you for the real world? Like, since you just graduated from college, how do you think this preparing you going for?
I think so. For social research public policy, we have methods, electives, we have structures and global processes, public policy electives, and society and culture electives. So we have of course the required courses, which are about 4, and then we have 8 major electives from the different categories that I just mentioned. So I think, in terms of, the foundational courses are always very foundational, right? In the sense that, you're gonna come back to them, or it's always helpful to come back to them when you're thinking about the other courses that you're gonna take, because it's all, you know, education, society. And so foundational courses are all about, you know, society and social life and interacting with others and how that is all part of this, part of society, right? And so I'm going to come back to that when I think about education. I'm going to come back to that when I think about the different topics like race, like gender, when I think about immigration. I'm going to come back to that foundation. And I think that was important to keep continuing, right? To keep going. And then in terms of all the courses that I was able to take, I tried my best to focus on education relevant courses. Perhaps I wasn't able to take all, but I was able to take a couple that were education focused. So because, you know, I want, after graduating, I want to be in something related to the field of education, perhaps teaching the Arabic language, perhaps designing curriculums, perhaps designing content, perhaps all of these together. Should be great.
Yeah.
But the idea is that, you know, the education course that I took were directly relevant in terms of the theory and the philosophy of understanding, you know, how one gains knowledge, or what is the best way of kind of making use of students' knowledge and how learning works. So all these things are very important when it comes to my education courses. Now, in terms of the other courses, I think a lot of, you know, some of them were really practical courses like ethnographic methods, you know, where you're actually observing a group and you're reflecting on that and you're participating. And then you have, you know, you have all this data that you can analyze. It's very practical. And then others, you know, another method course was like quantitative data analysis using R. And so you have all this data and you start analyzing it quantitatively, analytically, right? You do all these things and then you can produce something. And then other courses, perhaps even though they weren't relevant to education, I tried my best to have them, you know, to pick courses that were relevant to my interests, to my, you know, in terms of perhaps geographic location, like a course that's called Social Change and Development in the Arab World. Or, you know, other courses, perhaps, that were relevant to psychology. Because for me, education lies in the intersection between sociology, psychology, and public policy. That's why I was able, that's why I decided to do a minor in psychology as well. And try to pick my courses that were most relevant to education, like social psychology, developmental psychology, human development, language science, all of these that I feel like would really benefit me if I want to get into the field of education in terms of knowledge and the practical skills.
That's great. That's awesome. And just like a general question that I have for you is basically, as I mentioned, your nationality, like previously. So I would like to know more about your experience here in the UAE, not only like on at NYUAD campus, but in the country, like as a overall, like how was your experience coming from a completely different culture and try to adapt here in the UAE?
Like, yeah, that's a great question. I think, so I came from, to give background, I lived my whole life in Saudi Arabia. I'm Palestinian Jordanian, so I'm Arab. Just like the country, which I think was really nice. I think the transition from an Arab country to an Arab country, in terms of the language, in terms of the culture, the kind of the accessibilities in terms of religion and many other things, I think that's such a wonderful opportunity I was able to have. I think, so differences for sure, like I haven't properly learned, for example, the Emirati dialect of Arabic, which I think was really beautiful to have that around me and learn from a lot of people around me and try to use it. Learning about the culture of the UAE, because I have, you know, I haven't heard much about it coming from Saudi Arabia. So it's just having that kind of enlightenment education about it. And even, you know, living in the country, studying in the country, I think, you know, perhaps perhaps if we have a better opportunity to be inside the city, maybe that would be different.
Yeah.
But even though we are on Saadiyat, we do have these events, these outings. The you can take the public bus and be in the city in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, there's so much. It's just very rich in terms of what you can learn about the people, the country, all kinds of people, right? All kinds of nationalities in the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another layer to it, right? The diversity, this, you know, people from everywhere, the languages that you're going to hear when you go into the city, the foods that you're going to smell. It's very rich. I think, you know, I've learned a lot during these past years about living here. And I think because I had like a, perhaps something, you know, the similarities of being Arab, being Muslim, etc., but also the differences,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, the specific culture, the cultural nuances that I didn't know about. I think these are very enlightening. And I think they always kind of make me willing to learn about it, make me willing to try things out.
Mm.
That's great to hear, actually, because I think even though I come like from a different culture, so I still can relate some aspects that you mentioned, like about how diverse is the UAE, you know, and how we have like different peoples like from all over the world. So it's such like a diverse country. And so yeah, it was like really wonderful like to hear from you. And the last question is basically if you want to share any kind of advice for students who want to apply to any university here in the UAE. So which kind of piece of advice do you have?
So I would say, you know, just like we mentioned, right, the diversity,
mm-hmm.
is great. It's wonderful. You can come here and live no matter where you're from. And so it's possible. And so I would really encourage anyone from everywhere to apply and be open to living in a different place, but expect that you're going to learn so much, that you're going to, you know, you're going to grow a lot, you're going to develop a lot. I think maybe one piece of advice that I cherish myself is, you know, or I can't grow without discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that, you know, if we're always in the same place with the same, you know, with the same kind of conditions around us, we don't know what's different. We don't know what's next, perhaps. We don't know how things could be different. So challenging yourself to a level of discomfort, I think that's very, like, it's really, really beneficial to, you know, for people to grow mentally, to grow socially, to grow really in so many ways. I think discomfort is a very important factor. Now, not too much discomfort, a certain level of discomfort that you are comfortable. Mm-hmm. So my advice would be to be comfortable with discomfort, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, actually. That's such a great advice. And thank you so much for coming in like today and joining us on the podcast. And thank you all the listeners who are turning into the podcast today. So stay tuned for the next episodes. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.